Corinthians chapter 11. Again, I thank you, Sharon, for getting my attention. A university student who was a star football player, he came forward in a meeting to commit his life to Jesus Christ. He explained afterward, and I'm quoting, "I got tired of playing the game without being able to see the goalposts. And without a goal, life has no direction. The coming of Jesus Christ is a sure fact, and it gives Christians a goal in life. Now, there may be many uncertain things and events that take place in a person's life today, and even though we have more than doubled our knowledge in the world, there's nevertheless such a plague of uncertainty that most people have. And from the highest in any country's government on down, this lack of certainty and a fear about what is going to happen tomorrow. Everybody's afraid that the wrong person will be able to have access to the nuclear button that will set off a nuclear war around the world. But you and I, as Christians, we have certainty. We are not without certainty. The first thing that we can be certain about is the matter of salvation. And that comes because of what we have represented in the body and blood of the juice and the bread. Every time the believer takes part in the Lord's Supper, he is reminding himself of the certainty of his personal salvation. The certainty of our personal salvation. I'm going to come back to 1 Corinthians 11, but for now I'm going to be turning to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Redeemed not monetarily, so don't be concerned that you don't have a lot of money, because you don't get saved by what you can give. Rather, as verse 19 says, we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And that's what's represented in the cup when it's passed. It's juice representing the blood of Jesus Christ. He is a lamb without blemish. There was no sin in him, and therefore he was able to provide the salvation of our souls. Jesus didn't die on a cross for himself. He died there for you and me. A person doesn't really need to know anything about Jesus, but that he died for them. And a person doesn't really know anything about Jesus until he knows Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. You know, you can know many things about God, about Jesus, as you read them in the Bible. But to know something in a sense of basic knowledge is different than knowing something personally First John chapter 5 and verse 13 said, "These things have I written unto you, to who? Unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may have eternal life." This is something that we can know. This is not something that is just proclaimed, but it's given so that we individually can know that we have eternal life. So many times when speaking to someone about Christ, they will say, "Well, I hope so," or "I think so," or "I'm doing the best I can." But the Bible speaks in a different frame of mind. It says, "These things have I written unto you," who? "To you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Why? "That you may know that you have eternal life." What that teaches us is that salvation is a certainty. But the second thought this morning, and that is sure to a born-again believer, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know Christ died, represented in the elements of the Lord's table. Time would not permit to present all of the logical explanations to this, all the logical explanations to the objections to the resurrection. Now, there is a reasonable rebuttal, by the way, to a rebuttal with truth to every accusation that the resurrection is not true. And quite pathetic are some of the objections. But the resurrection, I state to you, was literal and bodily. Okay? It was literal and bodily. Luke chapter 24, the gospel, as Luke recorded it in chapter 24, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 36. Luke 24, 36. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them." The resurrection was literal and it was bodily. Now, when he appeared to them, I believe their reaction is the reaction that we'd have. In spite of knowing what we know from the scriptures, if Jesus were to appear to us as he did to them, I believe we'd have the same kind of reaction. Why? Because it's just not a common thing, a normal thing, for us to see a resurrected person.
That's right.
And just like they thought for sure it was a ghost, it was a spirit, it wasn't really him. And then Jesus, he offered proof. He said, "Touch me. Feel me. You're feeling flesh and bones." Now, he didn't say blood, because there was none.
That's right.
But flesh and bones. "Go ahead. Touch me. See." And then he could still see the skepticism. And so he said, "Do you have anything to eat?" And he proceeded to eat.
Right.
Now we know in that resurrected body, he did not need to eat to sustain himself, but he was able to eat. You say, well, where'd it go? I don't know. You ask him that when we get to heaven. People often ask, well, when we get to heaven, there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're all going to sit down and eat. But we're in glorified bodies, and just like Jesus, we won't need to eat to exist, but we will be able to eat. And so there's a lot of questions to be answered, for sure. But it was a literal bodily resurrection. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, because I live, ye shall also live. And that was said before the crucifixion, before the resurrection. What Jesus was identifying was that because he lives, we are able to live. And he was able to say it that way because he knew though he was going to die, he was not going to cease to be. Our resurrection is also literal and bodily. I'm turning to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now this is a favorite passage to be used at funerals. I personally have used it along with Psalm 23 probably more than any other passage. 1 Thessalonians 4 beginning at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He says, I want to give you some knowledge here. I want you to know the situation. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, about what? Concerning them which are asleep. And you'll understand that he's using that term asleep for physical death. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So you have some loved ones, friends that died, that were Christians. They're going to be raised up. They're going to be resurrected before we go up. If we're the living generation, they are going to go up before us. Now, all of this takes place in what we call split-second timing. Though the rapture takes place, we're told, in the twinkling of an eye. And that is less than a split second. Some scientists have figured it out. And we don't exist in that quick a time frame, okay? And so Jesus said he is going to come again. In verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now there's comfort in that. So he says, comfort one another. So the resurrection, where every time we take part in the Lord's Supper, we need to remember the resurrection. The value of the resurrection is that because he rose again, we too will rise. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. Now this is instruction for those who didn't believe in the resurrection. Okay? There are people that don't believe the resurrection. That was true in Bible times. It's true today. There are people that don't believe in a resurrection. They'll believe in a reincarnation, but they don't believe in a resurrection. And my lands, if you can stretch your mind to believe in reincarnation, it's a lot easier to believe in a resurrection. All right, chapter 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, and we know that he is. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and our faith, your faith, is also vain. In other words, if there's no resurrection, there's no salvation. If there's no resurrection, what will you have faith in? But you see, because there is a resurrection, we are able to have faith in Jesus Christ. Yea, verse 15. Yea, and we are found also witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Now, God raised Jesus. But if, like these skeptics were saying, there's no resurrection, well, then Jesus didn't rise. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Without the hope of the resurrection, there is no faith and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Resurrection is essential. Amen. And it has been called already the great determiner. For there is no other religion of the world that has a founder who died and rose again and is living. Amen. Oh, you Christians say that he rose again. No. Yeah, I mean, yes, that's true. We Christians do say he rose again. But go back in history. Now, the Bible teaches us that he rose again. And the Bible is a valid book of history. But some, because of its religious nature, do not accept it as a valid book of history. Okay, then let's just go to the writings of people of that day. And you'll find evidence of the resurrection. They believed in the resurrection. Of course, one of the greatest historians that has recorded what was believed was a man named Josephus, a Jewish historian. But there are others. There are others. But you see, skeptics and people who doubt, they're not going to tell you about that. And as a matter of fact, my own opinion, that most of them don't even know about it. They just heard some other person that was ignorant, that means without knowledge, claim there's no resurrection, and then they parrot it. And then another person parrots it. And of course, if, for example, you're in a college setting where in that college setting there are people of authority who are denying the resurrection, that bears quite an influence on an individual. But again, it's not because of evidence, it's because of merely parroting what someone else has said. And there have been various individuals who have doubted the resurrection. They set out to prove it wrong, and in the process of trying to prove it wrong, they found Jesus Christ was real, and they got saved. The value of the resurrection. So the Lord's Supper gives us certainty about salvation, certainty about the resurrection, and the second coming. The third thing that is sure to us born again people is Christ's second coming. Every time the true Christian goes to the Lord's Supper table, he should focus on the return of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 11 and 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. What are the next three words? Till he come. You show the Lord's death till he come. In other words, it proclaims the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul assured the believers there in the town of Thessalonica, the Lord himself shall descend in that fourth chapter that I read. 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus, he ascended from a place called the Mount of Olives, and he went to God the Father. But there were messengers, angels, that told the 500 people standing there who were gazing up. Now, it wouldn't surprise me as they were standing there and Jesus was taken up from them, called the Ascension. In the liturgical church, they follow the church calendar, and this would be called the Day of Ascension. Now, we're not liturgical. You probably picked up on that. And the liturgy. Now, you can't get saved by having a liturgy, and that's the problem. People in liturgical churches many times put their faith in the liturgy. But just because something is different than what we do or prefer to do doesn't mean it's automatically wrong.
That's right.
And so they will observe the Day of Ascension, and in the whole of the church calendar, it's referring to this that I'm talking about from Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. 500 of them were standing there, and Jesus began to go up. And they stood there gazing, and the angel said, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you will so come in like manner." In other words, he's going to come again by reversing that and coming down. Now, I believe they stood gazing up. I'm sure there were quizzical looks on their face. It would not surprise me if most of them, mouth dropped open. Here's Jesus standing, talking, teaching. And then all of a sudden, he begins to rise up. He keeps going up. How high? A cloud received him out of their sight. They could no longer see him because he went so high. Oh my goodness, this great Jesus, salvation, resurrection, and his second coming. When he comes for us, it's referred to as the blessed hope. And at each communion service, we are to remember not only his death, but the fact that he is coming again. He is coming again. Our Father in heaven, because of that great truth, we are thankful that our salvation, our hope, is not just in a religiousness, but it's in the declaration of the scriptures regarding the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until he comes, we, dear Father, will indeed commune together in Jesus' name.